It is harvest time for winemakers in California, but this season corporate wine investors are making the splashiest headlines by plucking well-respected boutique wineries for their investment portfolios. Stag's Leap, Atlas Peak, Duckhorn, the list of former independents goes on, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing depends on who you talk with, as Rachel Miro reports from member station KQED.
Purists may consider the buyouts bad news, but there are strong reasons for them on both sides. Wine artistes may want more market muscle, or a fully financed retirement, or the freedom to start something new, which was the case for Bonnie Doon's founder, Randall Graham. He was one of the first to introduce French Rhone Valley grapes to California 20 years ago, earning him the nickname the Rhone Ranger. Sitting on the porch outside a Bonnie Doon warehouse in Santa Cruz, Graham says it was time for a change.
I didn't really like doing what I was doing, which is to say making tons and tons of wine. It was good wine, it was cleverly packaged, but you couldn't really call it original in any sense. If I were to die anytime soon, they would say, what a great marketer he was.
So Graham decided to sell off his big brands, the Big House Red, White, and Pink, the Cardinal Zinfandel, to one of the top three industry giants, the Wine Group. That leaves Graham with an operation small enough to run mostly on biodynamically grown grapes. He calls the approach agricultural homeopathy.
I want to produce wines that have something like a life force in them, something that is more wholesome and more original.
While Graham is benefiting from his corporate buyout, he says there's a reason much of the most prized wine in California comes from smaller operations.
Good wine or excellent wine is really related to the grapes from which it's made. And by definition, excellent grapes, distinctive grapes, are always in short supply.
Graham's argument and his biodynamic wine finds ready support at Solano Cellars in Albany, California. The store is a paradise for wine enthusiasts, a champion of the little guy, microvintners who make less than 1,000 cases a year. Wine buyer Jason Leffler doesn't dismiss corporate ownership out of hand, but many of his customers do.
The most informed customers, they generally have sort of a disrespect or a disregard for the commercially produced wines. And if a winery is purchased, they're usually the first to sort of write it off because they don't want to see their beloved passion tainted by corporate ownership.
But if some wine drinkers are writing off a handful of newly corporate properties, there are still plenty of little labels to know and love. There are now more than 5,000 wineries in the U.S., three times what there were just a decade ago. Most of these wineries are in California, and most of them are small.
We are in the midst of a big boom.
Vic Motto heads Global Wine Partners, an investment bank based in Napa Valley. He says low-end wine isn't the moneymaker it used to be, so big conglomerates like Wine Collectors are beefing up their portfolios with the best of the bunch, small to mid-size wineries that produce well-regarded premium wines that cost $15 a bottle or more.
We spend more money on kitchens now than we used to spend on houses. We get better food in restaurants by far than our parents could get in their day. We're the richest country in the world, and so Americans can afford what they want, and they generally want the best they can afford.
Motto is confident bottom-line-minded beverage giants can keep from ruining boutique labels. Other wine watchers aren't so sure. But even the most demanding wine lovers say you can't judge a bottle by its label or its owner. The true test of quality is in the glass. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Miro.